Jesus, we thank you for Michael. We thank you for what he carries, what's in his heart, the role he plays in our community. And God, I ask that your word would flow through him today and that it would shape us and it would change us and it would accomplish the purpose for which you have sent it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, buddy.
Hi. So I was thinking about how many times that I've shared on a Sunday morning. A couple years ago, I preached a message talking about Peter walking on water and faith. And about a year ago, I shared about trust and stood on a chair and held my one-year-old Zoe above my head. I don't know if you guys remember that. I've been asked not to do that today. and so, you know, I don't really share that often. And part of that is, if I can be really vulnerable, I don't really like to. I you know, call it, you know, fear or whatever it is. I prefer smaller contexts. I prefer sharing in, you know, groups no bigger than 10 and just talking that way. But, you know, a really wise person gave me some advice about talking to people. And they said, you know, basically when you're going to share in a public setting like this, just picture everyone in their underwear. And you know, really, I'm more afraid of doing that than I am of preaching. And so I just think that advice was really great. You know, it worked today. I'm feeling pretty pumped about it. I've got, it's three pager. So for those of you who, you know, I've been in the church scene for a little while, and so I know, you know, you look at some people with the stack and it's like, you know, you're like, okay, I got to cancel my reservations right now. It's going to take a while here. Hello, Red Robin. I need to cancel. He won't stop talking. But it's a three pager. It's not going to be too bad. So that's good, guys. I just wanted to share, about prayer today. I knew that we were going to be doing some prayer things. And so I wanted to share about prayer. And it really challenged me when I decided this is what I want to talk about. When I felt like the Lord put that on my heart to share, it really challenged me to get into the Word about prayer. And I got to say, guys, I'm pretty excited. And I want to share with you guys a bit about prayer and really the importance of it and the calling that's in it, that we'd be a people of prayer. I found myself in Matthew 21. And this is awesome. This is like, it's actually becoming one of my more favorite parts of the Gospels. Because it's this scene where Jesus is like, it's just a different scene than what I usually picture of Jesus, you know, gathering the kids and like preaching on the mountain. Like this is a scene where Jesus kind of freaks out a bit. And it's probably something that I could see doing, but like Jesus does it completely holy and righteously, and I wouldn't do it like that probably. But it's basically this part where Jesus walks into the temple. And you guys know this part, where he walks into the temple and he sees just the state of what's going on there. There's greed, there's thievery. Basically what was going on in that day is that, you know, the temple is this holy place where people would come to meet God, and they would come and they'd bring sacrifices. You know, they'd sacrifice like a little lamb or something like that. And then there'd be merchants there, cause you know, you travel far. And so you're not going to like carry a little lamb along, you know, so you just go to the temple and there's access to be able to buy something to sacrifice to the Lord. And these merchants were inflating their prices to a point where it was just ridiculous, and they're making mad cash off of people's desire to come to God. And their desire to come and to bring a sacrifice to God. And people are making profit off of that. And I think there's something in that that I think about in terms of the church, and just that that we don't want to ever hold anyone back from coming into the presence of God. So that's just a little side note. But so Jesus, you know, he sees this happening, and in my mind, I picture Jesus being played by the role of Gerald Butler, and he kind of just like comes into the church, and he's just like driving people out. And in Mark, he like has this little whip, and he's like, whoosh, whoosh, and he's like getting all these merchants out, and he like turns the table, and he is, you know, standing there, and I just picture, you know, Gerald Butler just standing there, and he's breathing heavy, and he's like, begins to quote from Isaiah 56, and he says, "It is written, my temple shall be called a house of prayer and not a den of robbers. And I just picture Jesus like that in that scene, or in that part. But I think there's something that is interesting in that Jesus would quote from that. And I think he's establishing, and it just confirms to me Jesus' heart for the church. He just loves the church, and when he sees something like that happening in the house of the Lord, it just, you know, you just see that passion and that righteous anger against it. And so in that, I just wanted to establish that Jesus loves the church and that his heart for the church and his label for the church is to call it a house of prayer. And what I love about that is that it's not like a house of music. It's not like a house of music and praise, even though that happens. And it was so awesome today to worship with Adam leading us and with the team. And we get to do this every Sunday. But it's not just a house of music. It's not just a house of preaching. Although, you know, I'm preaching right now. That happens. It's not just a house even of fellowship or of community and getting together and spurring each other on. But it's a house of prayer. And this is what Jesus calls it. And I believe this is his heart for us as a community, for church to be a house of prayer, that we would be marked by prayer. And I love there's this verse in 1 Corinthians 3:16. It says, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells within your midst?" We are that house. And it just blew my mind to think as I just began to like read this and dwell on it and then be able to like look at my life. And for me, I don't know if some of you feel this way, but like I don't consider myself like a prayer warrior. You know what I mean? Like a juggernaut of prayer or something like that. But in that, juggernaut's like a warrior, right? Yeah. And Josh and I were talking about this. That's why I was like, "Josh, what's a juggernaut?" And I just don't really consider myself that, you know, like I look at, there's some people that I would say, yeah, you're like, that's the prayer person. Go talk to that person if you want something about prayer. And yet, you know what? Jesus calls me a house of prayer. He calls you a house of prayer. He calls us a house of prayer. It's both a personal thing and it's a corporate thing, that we are a house of prayer. And for me, it's like getting over that thing that I'm not a prayer guy. I sort of relate it to the idea of, you know, health and fitness in the same way. For me, I just, you know, I feel like God wants me to be healthy, that his desire for me is to be healthy and to be fit. And so, you know, I could say, well, you know, God, like I feel more called to pizza and, you know, like that kind of thing. That's kind of not my thing. You know, like I know that's what you say you want me to be, but I prefer pizza. Thank you. And it's like, no, you know what? If that's God's desire for me, then I need to desire that as well. And so, you know what? I'm going to Tracy's thing on Tuesdays and Thursday mornings. T-Bone, J-Dog. We're all there. Come on, join the crew. And, you know, it's like I'm eating the baby carrots and I'm, you know, asking for salad instead of fries. Woohoo, almost said fries instead of salad. And, you know, it's like because really a lot of it is because that's what I believe God wants for me. And he wants it for all of us. And in the same way, I believe that for God to call me a house of prayer, that for me to deny or for you to deny that you are that house of prayer, and that you exercise, and that you're marked by prayer, is something that I just don't want to do, and I don't want us to be that. Does that make sense? And so really, you know, I feel like prayer should be marked by every believer who has had an encounter with Jesus. And there's this verse that I read as I was just scrolling through the Biblio, or the Bible. Biblio is like something else. So why don't we just like read it? So let's turn in our iPhones or Androids, or if you're kind of old school, turn in your BlackBerry to the Bible app. Let's just select that. And it's the future. And let's go to Acts chapter 9. There's going to be some hit mail. You can turn in your analog Bibles as well. Acts chapter 9. I love this. I call this, like it says here, Saul's conversion. I say Saul's curb stomping by Jesus. So Saul is as many of you know, he is this Pharisee in the Bible who has become sort of infamous for hating Jesus and hating Christians and this Christian Jesus movement that's kind of sweeping through. And so he's you know, really the enemy, the anti-Christian of this time. And he has this encounter with Jesus, and there's something interesting in it that I wanted to point out. So let's just start reading. So I'm in the NIV. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, Jesus, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, he suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him,
Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?
Who are you, Lord? Saul asked.
I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting.
He replied, now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but didn't see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and didn't eat or drink anything. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called him in a vision.
Ananias!
Yes, Lord, he answered.
He sort of sounds like that. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. Note. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hand on him to restore his sight. And then basically Ananias just begins to complain. He's like, no, Lord, he's going to kill me, man. And, oh, he kind of changed his voice there. And then God was like, go. And he was like, no. And then he was like, whoa, I better go. And then he went, and then the story unfolds, and all of a sudden Saul becomes Paul, and he's like, written a whole bunch of books in the Bible, and he's become this catalyst, and it just launches him. His like radical conversion just like launches him into being a huge part of building the church. And the thing that stood out to me here is in Acts 9:11. Let's just check that out again. And I sort of took a pause there. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. Turn to your neighbor and say, for he is praying. So when I was thinking about this, and I was trying to put myself in Ananias' sort of shoes, if Jesus was to talk to me and tell me to go and do this, and I knew that Saul was this church killer, you know, Christian killer kind of thing, that he was a Pharisee, he was like a religious guy, and Jesus said to me, you know, go to this religious Christian killer guy, this Pharisee, and don't worry because he is praying. To me, that just sounds kind of like, you know, okay, well, I would expect him to be praying. It's like Jesus saying, you know, go to the Smarty Factory for there is chocolate. Like, you know, you would kind of expect that he would be praying. So what is it that is different here? And I was kind of thinking about that because Jesus, like the Bible didn't have to say for he is praying, but there's something in that is different. And I believe it speaks to true prayer. I believe it speaks to what I would say is the Christian prayer, which is more prayer as a lifestyle. I feel like there's lots of people who don't know Jesus that would say they pray. And I think that Jesus is less interested in the words we say and the prayer and more actually interested in the heart. And there is something that's shifted in Saul, in his heart. And so Jesus has this confidence to send Ananias to go and talk to this guy who would, you know, in the past be probably praying, God, give me strength to kill all these, you know, Christians, right? And he sends him. And there's something that has changed in his heart. And Jesus knew that and he saw that. And I think he sees that in our hearts when we pray. And it's less about, you know, how many Christian-y words we can like come up with in our prayers. And it's more about the heart that we come to the Lord with. And I believe that lifestyle of prayer, that thing that I want to talk about today, really only comes as a result of an encounter with Jesus. And it really only is developed through relationship with him, through spending time with God. And really, this is the challenge that I face. This is the challenge that I want to bring to us today. And the reason why I felt like this is what God wants me to speak on today is because I really believe in this next season for Life Tree as a community that God is calling us to prayer. I believe that that he's calling us to go into this position of prayer and to get our hearts in a place where God will hear, you know, will respond to our prayers, and where we just want to and have a desire to connect with him in prayer, corporately and individually. And the reason why I think that is because when I've spent some time over the last couple months, really, talking with people, like whether it's at the men's barbecue or at the backyard bash or getting together with friends or, you know, just randomly running into people from this community. And I've just been sort of asking this question, same with when we went to Esperanza. I've been asking this question to people, like, what do you see for Life Tree? You know, what is there some vision for that you have for Life Tree? Or how could you see, what do you see this next season for this community looking like? And I continue to hear this resounding notion of action, that there's a desire for action. There's a desire for things to happen, for small groups to begin to sprout up, and for there to be a bigger focus on missions and sending more teams out, and for there to be just an increase in finances so that we can go out and do more for the kingdom of God and give more for the kingdom of God and for his purposes. And then also this desire to see the supernatural just like awaken within us and in this community, that people would be healed and set free, and that that we would just see amazing things. And I just, you know, like, do you guys kind of agree with that? Is that something that is in your heart? Is that something that's in our heart as a community? I really believe it is, to go to another level. And in terms of the way that progresses, what I see throughout the Word of God, and even in that story in Acts, and then throughout my life, I see that what actually starts that thing, my desire, is this action. And for me, like, I feel like if I wanted to put a label, I feel like I'm more of an implementer. So like, I like to make stuff happen, you know? And so for those of you who are like that or more entrepreneurial, like, you can connect with that. And so for me, knowing that really what God wants me to do is start with prayer. That's a big challenge for me, because I want to see something happen. And the way that's going to happen, God's way, is through prayer and connecting with him. And so then from that place of prayer and listening and quieting yourself before the Lord and bringing your petitions to God, comes God speaking and giving direction. And then out of that place of direction is usually a corresponding action. And that's what I love. And I want to see that happen. And so I just feel like for us, we just need to pray. We need to start to just reaffirm within us that we are a house of prayer, and that we are marked by prayer. And out of that place will flow action, will flow, you know, these greater things that we want, right? And so there's this story that I wanted to share that is sort of an example that I think of in my life. It was a few years ago now, and I consider it to be one of the more epic days of my life, and in terms of like a God story. So I was in Nanaimo. I had a painting company at the time, and I was went to this Bible study, and in the Bible study we were, you know, talking about something, and at the end we spent some time in prayer. And as we were praying, we were basically praying, you know, God, we just want more of you, and, you know, and we just want to be more aware of your presence in our lives and to guide us and all that. And so in the midst of that prayer, there's this girl that was there, and she kind of just got this word or this sort of feeling from the Lord. She said, you know, I just feel like God wants us tomorrow to set our alarms 15 minutes earlier. And in that time, 15 minutes earlier, to wake up and to pray for 15 minutes, to carve out that time in your day. And then just to, like, allow yourself to be led by the Spirit. And so we're just like, let's do it. Go team. Yay, Bible study. And then we, like, you know, left, and I think we hung out afterwards, and then I went to bed, set my alarm for 15 minutes earlier. And I don't know how much, you know, like for you guys, I might as well have woken up, you know, 3 hours earlier. Like, it's amazing what 15 minutes does. Like, you just, you know, when you have kids, it's sort of, you just kind of, you know, you just die inside, basically, for a bit. But, like, you know, you just kind of give up that 15 minutes. But, like, at that time, I wasn't married, didn't have kids, and that 15 minutes was just, like, my sacrifice of praise, you know? And so the alarm went off, and I was like, ugh. And I actually had to get out of my bed, and I just kind of paced around, and my eyes, like, wouldn't open quite yet. And I was like, Lord, I'm here 15 minutes earlier, and I don't even really want to, like, I don't know what to say. I'm here. And I think I started to, like, basically say, okay, God, I give you this day, and, you know, just have your way in me, and somehow just, like, recharge me, because I'm feeling out of it, because I had to get up 15 minutes to sacrifice this to you. So really just, Lord, give me strength. And it was all about me. And then I went on, did my thing. And then, as I got into my car and I'm driving, and I don't know if you know Nanaimo, but I was on Northfield Road, and you can turn left onto Island Highway and you go to South Nanaimo, and then you can go right and go to North Nanaimo. And my job site, and I was meeting my crews on South Nanaimo, and so I was going to go left, and as I'm pulling up to Island Highway, I get this, like, panoramic picture on my windshield. Like, this is like a weird, you know, God thing, and someone could say, well, it's just because you got 15 minutes earlier. But I think it was a God thing. And it was this picture. I just saw Home Depot, like the parking lot of Home Depot. And I was like, okay. And this is when I started to kind of like, okay, well, Lord, you know, do you want me to go to Home Depot? And I was just like, okay. And I'm driving up and I'm like, okay, go right, go into North Nanaimo, and the crew will just set themselves up and get going. And so I pull up into the Home Depot parking lot, and I'm sitting there, and I just laugh because I think about, like, I literally did this. I put my wallet in my glove box. I pulled out a 20, and I said, God, I'm giving 20 bucks. I know you're going to want me to give some money, so this is it. I'm putting my wallet in the car. I'm not. Can you imagine? What a sinner. And so I'm like, I'm going to give 20 bucks. That's all. And I put 20 bucks in my pocket, wallet's in the glove box, and I walk into Home Depot. And I just, you know, they must have been thinking, like, there's something wrong with me, because I literally was just walking around, and I'm kind of, like, looking. And it's like, you know, that guy's not looking for a hammer. Like, he's looking for a target, you know. And so I'm looking, and I pace around Home Depot literally 3 times. I walk all the way around, and then I'm just like, okay, God, you know, practical joke. I get it. That's cool. You know, I'm going to get back to my thing. And as I'm about to leave, I'm coming up to where the customer service aisle is, and then the exit's on the right. And then I just, out of the corner of my eye, I see this guy. His name's Floyd. And I painted a house for him a few months back. And so God was just like, you know, that direction came, right? And it was just like, boo, highlight. And I was like, oh, no. You know, he's a client. God. And so I went up to the guy, and I was like, hey, Floyd. And then he's like, oh, hey, Michael, how's it going? I was like, yeah, really good. How are you? And he's like, oh, not so good. Oh, oh, really? And then that action thing starts to kick in. I was like, what's going on? And he's like, well, I just came from the doctors, and he's telling me basically that I'm about to have a heart attack. Like, there's something wrong with my heart. They don't know what's going on, and I'm just really stressed out about it. And they basically said that there's something wrong with my heart, and I may need to have, you know, the angiogramoplast or whatever. And I don't really remember what he was saying, but like something with his heart. And I was just like, oh man. And I just decided, you know, put on my big boy pants. I am, you know, just like faith time. And so I just was like, okay, well, Floyd, you know, you're not going to believe this, but like I pulled up to Home Depot and like 20 bucks. And like, and I was like, can I just pray? Can I pray for you? Like, I'm here for you. And he was just like, okay. And then I just like laid my hand on him. I didn't even like ask. I just like put my hand on him, and I was just like, okay, God, you know, I just pray that you would just show Floyd that you love him, and that you just bring healing into his heart right now, and just into his family, and just bless him. Amen. And I put my hand off, and I opened my eyes, and he's like rubbing his chest like this, and I was just like, what's going on? And he's like, it just feels like there's this warmth, and yeah, it's weird. And I was like, that's awesome. Okay, have a great day, Floyd. And I left. Didn't know quite what to do. And so, you know, I left. And I got in my car, and I did like a Jesus peel out. And like, put on Praise 106.5, was just like, Jesus, and went to the job site, started telling the guys about it, and a couple of the guys who were Christian were like, they came up to me after, and like, let's go do stuff like that later. So, like, we went downtown, and we actually, like, led someone to the Lord that night. Like, we just saw him walking in the park. We're like, can we just buy you dinner? And he told us his story, and it was just, like, this amazing day, and I was just so charged up and really pursuing that. Doesn't that get you fired up? And in it, you know, it gets me fired up when I think about it. And yet, and I know I'm just like, God, I want that. Oh, I want that in my life. I want that in our community. I want stories like this coming up on Facebook and like testifying and like, and it's just like, I just want that. And yet I've stopped praying for it. And yet somehow, I don't know about you, but I feel like we've stopped praying for that kind of thing. And I just, you know, that story really impresses on me that God, this is what God wants, is for us to bring these things to him and to desire, God, I want to have fun with you today. Like, let's go, screw the schedule. Oh, it's on camera. Okay, anyways. So really, I just wanted to talk about a couple things that I can see in my life that prevent me from praying. I come up with three D's. Because that's what preachers kind of do. And so this is the first D that stops me from praying. And I think that is, that D is distraction. And I feel like for me, you know, I'm just like immersed in this culture where everything is just like at my fingertips. You know what I mean? Like I found myself like prepping for this message and like listening to like the audio version of reading through Acts because I was on Facebook while I was taking notes, while I was eating Cheetos and it was carrot sticks. I mean, and it was like, Char's like, no. And I just feel like there's something even in the midst of, and I just feel like I've accustomed myself to distraction. I've made it a normal part of my life to be distracted and not to be able to focus. And that discipline has sort of dissipated in my life. And for you, if you're in that place, just in the same way that I find myself there, I just feel like God is calling us to just focus and to just, you know, axe that distraction thing and to be able to spend time in prayer. It talks about, you know, like Jesus demonstrated this in his ministry on earth where he would actually go away, you know, from the craziness, you know, turn off the iPhone and spend time in prayer. And that's actually a calling that we have. And that's something that I feel challenged to do. The second D, so there's distraction. And then the second D is doubt. And I'll be honest, this is a big one for me, is simply, I'm not sure that if I pray for something that it's going to happen. You know what I'm saying? Right? Like, you know, If I pray for that person with no leg to grow a leg or, you know, whatever, it's like, I just, you know, like I have a lot of doubt that that's going to happen. Right. And that's just something that I wrestle with. And I'll be honest, it's something that prevents me from praying. It actually prevents me from praying. When I walk past somebody and they're like, and they're like, look like they got SARS or something. And I'm just like, I just want to pray for them. It prevents me from praying because I'm afraid that if I pray that they will continue to cough and walk away, you know, and like collapse in a bush somewhere. And it's like, There is something that God wants to stir up in us of faith. And I actually believe that faith, and, you know, think about this, but like, I believe that faith can't quite exist without doubt. Because faith without that element of doubt wouldn't really be faith. It would just be like, well, it's going to happen, right? And so there is something in it that really, you know, it actually comes with being able to persevere. And there's this thing of perseverance, and I've got this awesome story that I just wanted to share about it. At youth group a couple years back, there was this guy that was at youth group, and I think Caleb was like preaching about something to do with healing or something. And so at the end, you know, we're asking people if they want to be healed for something. And then this guy came up and he's like, hey, so I, since forever, have never been able to do a push-up. And we're like, okay. And he's like, well, like, look at this. And then he, like, touches his shoulder blades together. And I was like, and we're like, okay, you know, what, well, and he's like, well, I just want to be able, like, for God to heal me because there's this thing called parkour. I don't know how many of you guys know parkour. It's like free running kind of thing. And it's this urban lifestyle thing. Anyways, look it up. And you'll just be like, you look it up and you'll be like, what are they doing? You know, it's just like basically just, you know, if you want to walk from here to there, you have to do like a couple backflips and like whatever's, you know, in the way. And so he wants to do this, but he can't because of this thing. And so I think Caleb was like, yeah, well, let's pray. And I called Caleb through the week to confirm everything, so I'm not like going to exaggerate this. And so we began to pray, and nothing happens. We're like, do you feel anything different? No. And we're like, let's pray again. And then we pray, and it's like, no, nothing really. And then we pray again, and I don't remember whether it's like third or fourth time. And then he's like, I remember it being like, he's like, well, I think I'm like, I feel actually like 12% better. Like, pray, keep praying. And then, so then we like start praying again. And then he's like, oh, I think it's like 22, you know, and then like keep praying. And then it like gets better and better. And like Caleb, we were saying like about 12 times we prayed. And then Caleb was, and then I think he was like, you know, at a higher percentage feeling better, but he kept on saying his percentage better, which I loved. And then Caleb's like, well, try it out. Do a push up. Gets down on the ground, doing a push up. Does another. Keeps doing push-up. Who was there in youth group? Okay. Praise the Lord. And so he's doing a push-up. Caleb, like, interviews him afterwards. And he's just, like, crying. And he's like, God just healed me and I can do push-ups and parkour. And it's just like, praise the Lord. And there's something in persistence. And I love to think about that story because there is something about, you know what, like, persevere in prayer. And sometimes it happens all in one moment where you're just praying for 30 minutes for some person and they start doing, you know, push-ups or get out of a wheelchair. And other times it happens where you just continue to pray. You know what I'm talking about? Like my mom is someone who continues to pray. And she'll just like send me messages. She's just like Filipino and she loves the Lord. And she's like, Michael, I love you and I'm praying for you. And it's like, thanks, Mom. You know, but like, it's so cool to know that someone's praying. And there's something about continuing to pray for healing. And the interesting thing about persevering in prayer is that God puts a burden on your heart. And then what that translates to is, you know, like for me, what I've done is there's a few people that I have set notifications on to pray for. And for me, what it's done in my life is that because I have that notification and because I pray, my heart starts to think about that person. And then you check in. And you're like, how you doing? And you pray and you encourage, and then God uses that. And there's something in that discipline of perseverance. So, you know, doubt. Next one, the third one. So there's distraction, there's doubt, and then the third one for me is disappointment. Okay? Oh, disappointment. So this for me, disappointment is I've prayed for things in the past and nothing's changed. And that kind of goes along with doubt. And I feel like that goes along with the idea of losing that power of persistent prayer. Luke 11, you know, Jesus, the disciples asked Jesus, you know, how should we pray? And then Jesus says, you know, the Lord's, what we call the Lord's Prayer. And then after that, he gives this parable or this metaphor about persistence and how it's like, you know, you just keep on. And then at the end of that, he says, ask and you shall find, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. And I think there is something in that. To persevere. I got to get through this. One thing. Okay, I just wanted to share an idea. This is just an idea that came up. For us, wouldn't it be cool as a community if we actually had like a board and there was just a list of things, prayer requests that we were praying for. And wouldn't it be cool in a year that that board would be there and that we'd see how many prayers God has answered. And actually check those off. And actually that it would build our faith. Every time we walk in, boom, that person got healed. Or, you know, whatever, that guy got that job. Or, you know, whatever it is. Just an idea. I wanted to end with this because I don't have a lot of time. I'm actually probably over time. And it was 5 tips for how to spice up your prayer life by Mike Edwardson. So I'm just going to rattle these off. Just a couple tips that I felt the Lord was showing me to spice up your prayer life. So the first tip. Try this. Begin to pray. That's a good one, right? Just start to pray. Like, have you ever thought about, like, I kind of relate this to if you, you know, when you meet someone for the first time, Charlotte, or whatever, and it's like, I'm not like that when I meet someone for the first time. It's like, hey, how's it going? You know, and it's a little awkward, or when you see someone after not seeing them for a long time, it's okay for it to be awkward when you start praying at first, right? It's okay. I just want to say that, like, it's okay, you know, for some of you guys in Fuel or whatever, it's like, you know, it's okay to just start praying and for it to be maybe a little awkward. Just start praying. The second tip is just pray real prayers. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't come to God as though he's like the Queen of England or something, or you know, like in this really awkward way where you'd never use this language for anyone else, but just begin to pray. It's like, hello, Lord, tea? You know, like, I don't know, I'm sorry. But like, the point is, you know what I'm saying. Pray real prayers. I think that God has made it really clear, Jesus has made it clear that his desire is to know us. And for us to have our desire to know him, that's a pretty epic combination, you know? Like to know God and to be known by God. He can do some amazing things. Hey, here's another one. Try just being thankful when you pray. You know, like just thanking God for like good things. I love this thing in Philippians 4, and I've just like recited it over my life whenever I get stressed out. And it's basically this: don't be anxious about anything, but in everything. Everyone say everything. But in everything, through prayer and petition with what? Thanksgiving. Present your requests to God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and your mind. And I love that key in there. It's almost like the password to all of this is thank you. You know what I'm saying? I think I've heard Bruce say that before, and it's good. Tip number 4, pray for big things. Pray for big things and also celebrate small things. You know what I mean? Like, what is stopping you from praying for millions to come to the Lord? You know what I mean? Like, or just like praying for these like things that seem impossible. Like, let's start praying for big things. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on, let's do it and see what God does. And this last one is actually my favorite. And I heard this preacher say this and I was just like, I'm going to steal that. And he said, pray God's will by praying God's word. Pray God's will by praying God's word. Oh, that is like foolproof. Like if you want God to grant something that you know, like to see something happen, and it's his will, and you know it's his will, then find it in his word. And there's this, you know, this pastor was making this thing of, you know, basically present your case before God based on his word. And say, you know, God, like that friend of mine that doesn't know Jesus, God, in the same way that you called Zacchaeus out of that tree, would you call this friend of mine into your kingdom, into salvation? And actually, like, use his word and just present it to God and allow faith to stir up and begin to pray. So those are 5 tips. Is that cool? I just wanted to spend, you know, let's just do 5 minutes. I wanted to break up into groups. Like, how could you preach about prayer and not have everyone pray, right? And so get into, like, groups of 5, maybe. Like 3 or 4 or 5, whatever feels comfortable. And what I was hoping for is that we could actually focus for like 5 minutes on prayer for this community and for Life Tree. And there was a couple things that I just wanted to point out, and then you can pray for other things as well. But for our community, I wrote, he has called us. Jesus, you've called us to make disciples. Lord, help us to do what you've called us to do in this place. In this house, to make disciples. He's called us to go into the world and preach the gospel. Lord, send us out on missions to preach the word of God. Send us into our workplaces, you know, and just begin to pray for that kind of thing. You want children to come to you. That's your desire. Let Life Tree be a place where children encounter the presence of God and continue to just go deeper in God. You've called us to be generous. Let this place just be overflowing with finances so that we can just like pour out and give in greater ways. You've called us to heal the sick, to cast out demons, and to set people free. And so, Lord, just fill us with faith to do that here and everywhere we go. So can we just do that? I know I've gone over. I'm really sorry about that, guys. You probably should have called Red Robin to cancel, but, you know, we're past that. So just please get into like groups of 3 or 4 before you go, and just take some time. Let's pray for this place. Bless it.